Okay, good morning, Aldergrove. It's genuinely a delight to be with you here today and have a chance to encourage you about North Langley Community Church and Christians Against Poverty having this partnership to care and serve the campuses and the communities that we represent. My name is Will McLaughlin. I have the joy of leading the team at Christians Against Poverty. And walking in today, I do get the chance to travel to a whole bunch of different churches. And seeing the warmth of the welcome in the first service and today, seeing people noticing others walking in and going across and having a conversation, it's just beautiful to see that level of compassion and care for each other. And that is something that our communities, our cities, desperately need. When we live in a time where there's so much disconnection, where people feel so isolated and vulnerable, it is amazing to see even that five-minute coffee time and people chatting to each other. And let's never assume that that's just normal, that that's done all over the place. That is something that is special, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And I also want to commend you as a church for choosing to have the two services. I've been an outreach pastor with a few different churches who've gone through that transition, and it can be difficult and it can be challenging. It can be hard, and sometimes we can lament a little bit of what we've lost, but also it creates space for others. And maybe watching that Alpha video, and as we put in the table tennis balls over the coming weeks, perhaps some of these seats in the future will be filled by those co-workers, by those family members, by those neighbors, those folks in your apartment building, any of those people who desperately need to know that Jesus loves them and cares for them as well. So thank you for making space for others. We're going to talk a little bit about finances today, and that's always one of those conversations that probably makes us reach to make sure our wallet is still in our pocket or that we've zipped our purse into our bag, because it's one of those that can be really emotive, it can be really challenging. And so I'd love to just take a moment to pray for us as we step into this. Father, thank you for the folks that you've gathered here today. Thank you that you love us, that you are for us, that you care for us. And as we step into this conversation, as we consider maybe what this means for us as individuals, would you bring peace to our hearts? Would you encourage us that we don't do any of this on our own, that you are with us every step of the way? In your name, amen. So I know I'm a stranger to you all this morning, and so I want to give you a little bit of a background for me. This is my family up on the screen. They're all back in Hamilton, Ontario. Leanne is the much better half of our marriage. She is a Saskatchewan gal from the huge metropolis of Osler, just north of Saskatoon. She went to Northern Ireland with Youth for Christ, and we met, and I managed to eventually persuade her to stay for a little bit longer. Eden, who is 16, and Malia, who are, she's 13, they were 4 and 1, just about to turn 2, when we first came back to Canada with CAP in Ontario in 2013. And they've been joined by Micah and Aaron because in order to live in Ontario, part of the residency requirements is that you provide meals for struggling sports franchises. So still hasn't worked apparently, but some neighbors of ours and friends keep on saying it's this year. So we'll see. As some of you will already have sleuthed, my accent is not from Ontario. I grew up on the north coast of Ireland, so there's also a bit of a Scottish lilt, so if you thought it was Scottish instead, you still get a pass, that's okay. And I met Leanne as part of a church plant in our community back in 2004. We were married in 2005, and so in August this year, we'll have our 20th wedding anniversary. And I was a community outreach pastor for that church plant. And that basically meant most of my role was listening to the community and to the city, hearing where some of the hurts and the pains were, and then seeing how our church could respond to those with the love and compassion of Jesus and bring hope and healing into dark places. And that's where I first encountered Christians Against Poverty. And the organization, most of you have probably not heard of CAP, and so just as a quick overview, we started in Canada in 2013, like I said. We are a Canadian registered charity. We've got our Canadian board. And as an organization, our mission, our focus, what we are kind of zeroed in on, is inspiring and equipping church communities to walk alongside people facing financial insecurity with practical tools and innovative solutions, trying to step into that area so that churches can respond well. But CAP actually started way back in 1996 in Bradford, England, when John Kirkby, who founded CAP, had his life absolutely torn apart in a recession. Debt overwhelmed him, his marriage fell apart, he lost his job, he ended up in one room with two little girls, struggling to know if he could feed them, and thinking of himself as a complete and utter failure, as a father, as a husband, as a person. Wondering if anybody noticed him because the friends had all gone, he felt utterly alone. But in that moment of complete darkness and desolation, he met some people from a local church. And they said that, "We can't solve all of these problems, John. We can't wave a magic wand and turn back time and do things differently. But we can walk with you step by step." And as John encountered that compassion, that love, as he connected with that community, as he was prayed for, as he saw God start to move in his life, he realized that he wanted to trust Jesus. And after doing that, he realized that it wasn't just him who was feeling overwhelmed. There were many others in his community, in his neighborhood, who were struggling, who went to bed at night and put their head on the pillow and thought that nobody cared. And so John decided, well, I'm going to try and find them, and I'm going to try and visit them and help and contact their creditors and create a plan, and we can bring some practical support and spiritual care from the local church. And people started meeting Jesus in that, giving their lives to Jesus. And then other people started hearing and saying, well, could our church do that as well? And to cut a long story short, since then, CAP has now grown around the UK. There's CAP Australia, CAP New Zealand, CAP Canada, CAP US, CAP Ireland, all with the same heart, caring for the vulnerable, doing that through the local church so that there's a community of care, and doing that in such a way that people ask questions of, why are you doing this? And we have the privilege to say, because we believe God loves you and cares about you and has a plan for you and wants you to know hope. That's been the journey. And so although our focus as an organization is around finances, and most of what I'll say today leans towards finances, maybe we've come along at the start of a new year. And although we want to feel hopeful, we're actually feeling overwhelmed, and things have been a struggle. Maybe even coming here today was a struggle. And if that's the case, when I talk about finances and say that there's always hope, that's the same for where you find yourself as well. If that's been family struggles over the holiday period, if that's been difficulties in job or employment, if that's been other pains, difficulties, illnesses, there's always hope. We know that when it comes to finances, so many people are feeling pressure at the moment. In fact, when the financial survey stress index was released last year, 44% of us said that finances is our biggest worry our biggest stressor in life. And that means that there's so many people who are struggling with the pain of that, that needs healing, that feels like this is a dark place that needs some light. It's a harvest field which is ready. And if we think about Aldergrove, what does that mean for us here today? According to the latest StatsCan census data, we have just over 10,000 people in Aldergrove. And if 44% of us say that money is our biggest stressor, that means 4,407 of our neighbors, of our co-workers, of family, of friends who might be losing sleep and feeling overwhelmed, dealing with the stress and the pressure that brings. And as that pressure mounts and anxiety and worries increase, what can start to happen is that the enemy starts to steal and kill and destroy. We question whether we are worthy or not. Shame starts to overwhelm us and overshadow us. But praise God that we can know and live into the promise of Jesus, who so tenderly says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a beautiful message to share when we are struggling and when we are experiencing difficulties. What a message for the single mom or dad who's feeling utterly overwhelmed, just trying to hold it together. What a message for the dual-income family who are thinking everything should work okay, but with constant increases and pressures, they just don't know how to get through. What a message for young adults aged 18 to 34 who are the ones who talk about how there's the greatest sense of pressure and stress and a sense of hopelessness for the future around finances. Or for those who are on fixed income and just do not know how to make things stretch further. What a message for all of us to hear. What an invitation from Jesus. Come to me. And as we sang this morning in this song, we can come whether we've got everything sorted or not. We're asked to come with our hurts, with the pains, with the difficulties, with the failures, with the addictions, with our brokenness, to allow Jesus to walk alongside us and bring healing and hope. If you're weary and burdened today, my encouragement is later on when there's prayer offered at the end of the service, whether that's at the front here or the prayer room at the back, would you take that invitation to meet Jesus, to experience rest? You can try and do a million and one things to fix it yourself, to go, okay, I'm weary, I'm burdened, I'll sort something and then I'll feel okay. Jesus says, hey, bring that to me. Maybe for some of us, that's a step at the start of 2025 that we really need to take. And there's supports out there for us too. Maybe the Living Well support group that's at the Walnut Grove campus. You know, if pressure and stress has been impacting your mental health, there's a safe space there to step in. Not to be rejected, but to be understood and cared for by a loving, supporting group. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has been traveling all over, speaking to many different groups. He's been doing amazing things and seeing lives radically transformed. And there was so much need in front of him daily. And maybe sometimes we can feel overwhelmed by that need. But when he sees this group, when he sees this crowd in front of him, he has compassion on them because they were helpless and harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes I know that I get cynical, I get frustrated, I get annoyed or irritated. Maybe I start to make assumptions over why people have found themselves in certain places and spaces. Or I judge, I blame. But Jesus' approach was to have compassion. And not just a compassion that said, hey, it's okay, don't worry. His compassion was this deep-seated, heartfelt tenderness that came from the depths of his innermost being. Now, when we look around our local communities, we might see needs that feel utterly overwhelming for us. And maybe for some of us, right now, that's gone to the point of feeling exhausted. Our compassion battery, our love battery is just drained and it needs recharged. If that's you today, I want to encourage you again. Take the time to step back to Jesus. Let him speak to your heart and to your mind. If you are weary, if you are burdened, go to him for that rest. Maybe that's what we need to do. Instead of trying to leap back in and trying to manufacture some compassion within ourselves and go, okay, I can do this again. It's okay, I'm going to do this. That's great. But what about going to Jesus and being restored? When he speaks to the disciples, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. You know, North Langley Community Church saw the needs and concerns around finances, the difficulties and stresses that many people were talking about in the campuses and in the wider community. And a couple of folks have got trained to run the Cap Money course, and that'll be happening as one of the courses that will be run this month. It's one of the tools that we resource churches with. It's a very simple, basic course. It isn't designed to be rocket science. It's a few hours of material that is designed to have conversations, give space to think, so that you can take an opportunity to consider your finances, some of the emotions that that might bring up, some of the opinions and perspectives that you've had around money. And it's a course for anybody, whether you're doing really well or whether things are a struggle. If you're somebody who loves numbers and you're just excited at the start of a new year to be able to crunch some new numbers, hooray! Or you're somebody who, when you left school, you said, I am never looking at another math problem that has a plus or a minus in it. I don't want to do numbers. Numbers is in my past. Thank you very much. Maybe you're somebody who is excited at the thought of putting together a budget, and that fuels you. Or maybe you are one of the 50% of us who say we've never built a budget and we don't want to. Wherever you're at, the Cap Money course gives you the space to sit and think things through for yourself. It helps us be intentional about where we are going to use our money. Bring some of our values into it. Are we spending to match up with where our hearts are? We want to be generous. Is that what's happening in our bank account? It's running on Monday, January the 20th, the 27th, and February the 3rd. So it's 3 weeks from 7 to 9 p.m. You can sign up on the website. It's under Ministries and Courses, so it's easy to find. And again, it just gives you the space. Whenever things are often so frantic for us and we're so rushed, taking the time to pause and to think is really important. Maybe you're somebody today who you love the idea of that course and you could see yourself running it. If that's the case, then I'd encourage you to chat to the team here. We're more than happy to train more people. And 100%, you don't need to be a financial expert. You're not giving financial advice. You're helping someone look at some useful tools and resources and take the first steps towards building a budget, getting it to balance, and trying to think about the future. So if you know how to have a conversation, if you love this church and Jesus, and you can put on a half-decent pot of coffee, then you're actually qualified to be able to facilitate the Cap Money course. And maybe that's something for you to think about this year. Perhaps coming into 2025, you want to get more involved. That's maybe an avenue to explore. And sometimes when it comes to money, we can overcomplicate things because we assume it's all about getting things to balance and all about the financials, which is partially true. But there's so much more about relationships and connection that's important. And so rather than me continuing to say that, let's find out how this played out for one church, Waterloo, one Cap Money coach, Bruce, and one participant, a wonderful lady called Jane. What excites me with the video is there's no mention of me, there's no mention of our head office team at all. Jane doesn't have a clue who we are, but she knows the church that she connected with in her local community. She knows Bruce, who was willing to run the course. And she knows Reg, who is the pastor of the church that she now calls part of her family. Does it mean that everything has changed for Jane? Nope, she's on a fixed income. Things are still a challenge. But what it's meant is that it's brought a sense of hope and togetherness, community, and being loved by Jesus into her life. It's restored dignity. And that's what the local church is so beautiful at doing time and time and time again. The Money Course is a great resource. It can bring freedom like it did for Jane, but also for those who might be completely overwhelmed where a course comes just a little bit too late. They're stressed and the physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, everything just feels too much. We still choose to respond. Again, in partnership with local churches, we provide licensed, accredited financial counseling and present individually tailored options for vulnerable individuals to find a way forward in their finances. It means it's for somebody who's facing the difficulty of, do I pay rent this month or hydro? Which meal should I skip so the groceries can stretch a little bit further? Who are in constant fear of the next call on their cell or the statement arriving from the credit card company? In those spaces, we get the privilege to look into somebody's eyes and say, you are not alone, that we are here for you and with you, and we will walk this journey together. And when someone asks, well, why are you helping? Why would a church do this? We get the opportunity to say, well, because God loves you, and we wanted to be here to let you know that today, and he wants you to know that he loves you. The need is massive, and we're receiving more and more calls than ever before for people looking for help. I just want to rewind a little moment as well. A couple of weeks ago, there was the Hallmark Christmas movie that Pastor John did for us. Anybody here for that and remember it? Yep, there we go. That's good. That's good. I was also going to try and come up with some grape or wine-related jokes. But then I figured I'm a guest, I'm here, so I should be on my best behavior. So I actually just bottled it instead. So thank you, one person. That was great. But when Pastor John spoke about those deepest fears and concerns that we might have, can we be separated from God? Or can God's love be separated from us? He highlighted a whole bunch of ways in which we can feel overwhelmed and pulled away from God. Finances was one of those. If you weren't here the week that was on, I'd encourage you to go back and listen online. And all of the Blessed Assurance series, tune into that. It's a wonderful reminder of how loved we are at a time when we can feel under so much pressure and stress. But whatever the challenges we face and the difficulties, whether it's our finances or whether it's family difficulties that showed themselves over the Christmas period, maybe it's illness that we're going through, health concerns, job concerns. As we look around, maybe we do feel overwhelmed by what's happening all around us. I just want to encourage you that, again, with the prayer team at the front and at the room at the back afterwards, get the help and support. Allow somebody to pray for you. Invite Jesus into those places and spaces and see what he can do with you. Earlier we sang the words, I wrote them down. I want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. And we sang about breaking every stronghold. At the start of 2025, we have this opportunity to trust Jesus at his word, that if we are weary and burdened, if that yoke feels too heavy, to come to him and experience rest. And that's why we do what we do at CAP. When we walk alongside people, we want to see them experience freedom. For Preet, who is one of the folks who called our debt network overwhelmed by credit card debt and constantly feeling as if there was no way forward, his comment was that it was just a relief to finally have someone helping him, that he didn't feel alone anymore. Crystal shared that she felt like she could dream again. Some of the hopes and the dreams for the future that she'd had, she felt they were gone, they were done, but they got restored. It's much more than simply the numbers and the bank account. Important as that is, it is about rediscovering hope and experiencing joy and realizing that our identity is not in our income, our bank balance, or the toys and gadgets that we might have or we might want and don't have, but our identity is in Jesus Christ. On your seats, there might be a little trifold brochure. If not, you can come and grab one from me later on if you like. It has some of the stats that I've shared and a few comments from another person we've helped and walked with called Alexa. And the reality is there are Alexas, Preets, Janes, Crystals in communities all across Canada and here in Aldergrove. And as a church, you've committed yourselves to step in amongst those who are feeling overwhelmed, who are in pain, who are hurting. And so I want to encourage you to be generous here at Aldergrove campus. If you call this church your home, maybe at the start of 2025, part of our journey is to go, how can we contribute and give into that mission that God has called us to be on? There's many ways to do that, online, in person. There's the little forms in the pews there. But God is doing something beautiful in and through and with your community. Can you give generously to that? Does that match your vision and your heart? Maybe this year, part of the commitment to make is to pray for the leaders, those who are serving on the staff team and in leadership at North Langley Community Church here at Aldergrove, to say, hey, we support you and we have your back. We know that there's a spiritual battle that's happening and we are here with you step by step. Today, I've mentioned around finances. Maybe for some of us, though, we need to relook and do a budget of our time, perhaps. Maybe that's where we could think through options to be generous within this community. Maybe that's volunteering with the kids, with the youth, some of the courses that are happening. I arrived here at 8 a.m. and thought I'd be sitting in the parking lot on my own for a little bit, only to find a bunch of people making coffee, getting stuff ready, the worship team up here, the folks in the tech booth kind of working away at stuff. All of those ways of saying, hey, we are a community and we are doing this together. Perhaps that's where we can look. You know, perhaps it's your talents. Maybe you've got skills and gifts and abilities that would be wonderful for the folks here to know about, because that can serve the wider body of your local church, your local community, and support the mission that you're on here in Aldergrove. Maybe your heart has been stirred about CAP today. This is something you feel passionate about. This is something that maybe you've experienced. And so perhaps for some of you, you want to get more involved with Christians Against Poverty. On those little pieces of those brochures, there's a QR code on the back that you can scan that will take you to our website. You can find out more information there. You can scroll down to the bottom if you want to get emails and stuff from us and find out what's happening as we seek to impact more and more lives. And maybe for some of you, this year would be a year where you would start to support CAP as an organization. The other QR code takes you to our website. You can sign up there online as one of our supporters. And you'll be part of a whole team of people who are saying to those who are overwhelmed by debt and who can't find a way forward, who are struggling in their own finances, that they're not alone anymore, that we are with them. And we want to see people find transformation in Jesus. That's why we call our monthly supporters life changers, because that's what's happening. People's lives are being radically transformed. And that allows us to say that, like, together we are Christians Against Poverty. The local church, individuals, people like Bruce, stepping up to make a difference. And you can come and see me afterwards if that's something you'd be interested in. As I finish, I want to just highlight a little bit again for you as a local church. You are running the Alpha course, and you've gone to two services because you want people to meet Jesus. And then you want to be able to grow, whether that's life groups or some of the other courses that are happening, to step into that apprenticeship of Jesus and become more like him. And you've chosen this place in Aldergrove to care for this community, to impact these neighborhoods around you. And as you do that, I just want to encourage you again, if you are weary and burdened today, this is a place where you can say that and experience love and kindness and have people walk with you. Maybe you've not had that before. Maybe you are nervous of doing that. That is totally understandable. But Jesus' call comes to you today. Come to me. You know, and maybe that's not a financial issue today. Maybe there was a significant family difficulty over Christmas, and that's really heavy on you right now. Maybe it is a health challenge that's been unexpected, and you don't know how to navigate that, to process it, to deal with it. Perhaps you've got some big decisions coming up in life, and you just need some peace on those. Can I encourage you that as we enter into worship once again, as folks are willing to pray, would you take that step? Find that peace, find that comfort, find that rest. In the prayer room at the back, there's posters on the wall that say, "The Lord provides, the Lord heals, and the Lord is peace." For some of us, that's an invitation to experience healing, provision, peace, if we would only take that step. And so I'd just love to pray for us, and then we'll worship together once again. Father, thank you that in the midst of our hurts and pains, our struggles, our addictions, our hard-heartedness, that you don't turn your back on us. You still beckon us to come. And Lord, for many of us today, as we wrestle with doing that, as we think through our own securities, our issues around rejection and pain and experiences we've had in the past, God, would you just break through those? Would you help us take that step that we need to take? Would you help us to trust you fully? Not to just put our best foot forward, but our worst foot as well. Thank you that there is healing. Thank you that there is peace. Thank you that there is rest that you give to us. In your name, for your glory.